All right, we're going to talk about honoring the word, starting in Proverbs 2. And if I could, I'll have Danielle share. Will you share that testimony about, and I'll put this mic on you, yeah, with that book, and just share. There's something she does to receive healing, and we're going to apply this specifically to healing. And if I don't specifically mention that, then that's the direction that our hearts are leaning towards in these particular sessions. But how to hear the word and absorb it. I'll just set this on her ear. There you go. Okay, it's going to hang off you, but it should be okay. I'll hold your hair back.
One day I needed healing, so then I went to these healing scriptures that Mom wrote down in here. And then I was reading them. I mean, they were really good scriptures, but none of them, like, really stood out. So then I went to the beginning where it says God on the corner of the page, so then I know that's about God. And I started reading about how big God is. Like in Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do far beyond all that we ask or think. Then in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, then who can be against us? And in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing will be impossible. So I read a few scriptures like that, and when I realized like how big God actually is, then I went back to the healing scriptures and read them again, and then like taking these scriptures and adding them to the healing scriptures, the healing scriptures stood out more.
They spoke to you more.
Yeah. Okay. They spoke to me more because when I pictured really how big God is, then it really helped me.
All right. Thanks, Daniel. And we might talk about that principle a little bit later, so I wanted her to share that. Just the idea of stirring ourselves up. Excuse me. All right. Proverbs 2. Honoring the word. All right. We'll go a little bit different direction. And to give credit, I just want to give credit to these men of God that came before us. And these principles, there's Kenneth E. Hagin's mini book, God's Medicine. I brought them so you could see if you have any questions or want to see them. God's Creative Power for Healing by Charles Capps. God's Creative Power that will work for you. And there's a book he originally wrote, The Tongue, a Creative Force, which was what kicked off this kind of set. I think that was the first that he published. And that's Charles Capps, God's Creative Power. And just give honor to our forefathers that went, F.F. Bosworth, Christ the Healer. I know some of you have told us you've bought this and you're going through it. Praise the Lord. I went through it in the 90s sometime, and I can't say exhaustively and completely. My wife fortunately condensed some of the teaching in this into a book for our kids, and it's Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth, because it's just those books, you know, people could say, hey, why don't so-and-so write a book? Why don't so-and-so write a book? Because they hear good preaching. The books have been written, I can tell you, that'll lead you and cast you into the right direction and launch you into faith and into trusting God. They're just awesome, and they launch you into a love for the Word, and that's what we're talking about today, honoring the Word. So I'd like to, I'll open with that story again about the door. When I was a kid, I got mad at my sister. I broke down her door, and I blew my temper, tried to get in her room, and broke down her door. And my dad made me pay for that door. He took me to the hardware store. I may have driven myself. I don't remember how old I was. So it's, and that was shortly before I was filled with the Spirit, actually, probably. And then I had to work for that money, you know. I had to work for that money and pay for that door. And that taught me something about honoring and about working and effort you put into something. And just principles like that. My dad and mom were good at setting consequences for all my misbehavior. And I really appreciate that. I thank them all the time for that. Every Mother's Day, every Father's Day, and in between. Anytime we're talking on the phone, I say, hey, thanks for what you did. And anytime I think about it. And anyway, so I say that to say we can receive healing by gifts of the Spirit and thank God for those. Those operate in the service. Pastor will feel moved. One of us will feel moved to lay hands on the sick. You might lay hands on the sick at work, and there's a move of the Spirit that heals them supernaturally, instantly, sometimes over time. But specifically today, we're not talking about the miraculous instantaneous reception or the presence of God in that environment. We're talking about receiving And that's what I liken that door to. When you work for something, when you study the word, when you seek after it, there's a different level. And we'll understand God better. Let's start with the basics here. Proverbs 2. My son, if you receive my words, and there's, I want you to notice the if that starts all this. If you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, if you incline your ear to wisdom, if you apply your heart to understanding, I'm carrying that if down to its logical place grammatically. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, and if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her for silver, and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, specifically, we're talking about the knowledge of God about healing, but any knowledge of God is sought by these principles. So I'd like to talk about them a little bit. If you receive my words, if you receive my words, maybe I'll share this. When we taught our kids to read, I taught them, I've only told a few of you this, but I taught them specifically so they could read their own Bibles. That was the main goal that I taught them to read. It wasn't to go to school. It wasn't because I believe in a good education. It was so that one day they could pursue God for themselves. That's how highly my wife and I take this pursuit of the Word. And when they were first born again, we took them to get their own Bible, and we made a big deal about it. Now you can read what you were taught to read for. The purpose, the fulfillment, is this book and knowing the Lord through the Word, knowing the Lord through this. And it was a big deal, and so they naturally, they're going to have some kind of respect for the Word because of that. And I know that's a personal story. I don't say each of you have to do that. I'm just letting you know that level of value, and there's some scriptures that are a reason for that. My mom taught me this verse anytime I misbehaved. The fear of the Lord, that's Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise. See, it says receive my words in Proverbs 2. So I'm kind of sharing on. That's the basic. Receive the word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise it. One of the basic things, you know, when you learn math, it's a lot easier to handle multiplication, and we're teaching our kids this. It's a lot easier to handle multiplication when you know math and you know subtraction. And it's a lot easier to handle algebra once you know multiplication and division. You know, and so we can't skip the order God set. We can't skip and want to know God's voice, His rhema word, like Pastor Mary's been teaching. We can't skip over the grounding in the Word. Sometimes my children and maybe a newer believer will ask you, I don't hear the voice of God. And some of you may think, I don't hear the voice of God well. But go ahead and start with the basics, because you say, I want to receive His words, but I'm not sure how to hear them. Start with the basics. Start with the basics. It's the Word of God. The basics are Scripture and the Bible. That's kind of your in. That's your inroad to hearing all the supernatural and the more stunning and the voice of God. That's your inroad. So start with the basics. It's like starting with addition. It's a lot simpler to explain addition and then move on to other things. And then I've counseled my kids. You've got, you know, you're going to hear His voice clearer later. And a lot of times with me, God speaks to me in Scriptures very often. But that's still a rhema word. He's speaking that specific Scripture. Because you could read, how many, you know, 50, 60, 70 healing Scriptures, and there are more. And then, but it's not speaking to you like my daughter shared, like Danielle shared. It's not speaking to you. But one word from God, when that rhema word comes, when that word that's spoken specifically to your instant comes, then you'll receive more easily. But that takes the groundwork, it takes the basic, and we can't skip steps with God. So if you're there where His voice is unclear, study the subject you need to apply to your life. If it's healing, then study the subject of healing and get the basics down. So let's go on to the next point in Proverbs 2. If we're reading chronologically here, receive my words, treasure my commands. We need to treasure His commands. This isn't just a casual observation of God's word. This means we hold it dear. You know, something you, like after I paid for that door, you know, I held it dear. I wouldn't have wanted somebody else to break it down. After I paid for that and had to buy a part of our home, you know, and that's a big deal when you're a kid, you know, $40, whatever it was. That's a, maybe it was 25, I don't remember. It was the 80s. But that was, you know, Yeah, I took care of that after that point. And it's treasure my commands within you. So keep them in your heart. There's a lot of clutter that we have, but he wants us to treasure his commands within us. If we do that, it'll remove room for a lot of the clutter, like those thorns that Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about, those thorns that grow up and can choke the word. And then it says, so that you incline your ear. So we're listening attentively. We're not just treasuring. I'd like to run down a rabbit trail here. If you cry out for discernment, this, you know what spoke to me about this? If you cry out for discernment, that I'd like to talk about the subject a little bit about humility. Crying out is it's a humble posture. Crying out shows, it sounds like a desperate thing. So this person that's described here, crying out for discernment that David is describing, it takes some humility. You know, a lot of men are too proud for this, to be honest. We all know men like that. They walk around proud. They criticize others. They don't see lack. Pride brings blindness. And this is it's a crying out for discernment. This takes some humility. You know, Psalm 34 says, the humble shall hear and be glad. Psalm 34 says, the humble shall hear and be glad. That shows that if you're not humble, you're not going to hear, and you're not going to have a reason to be joyful. You know, like those guys I talked earlier before we were recording, you know, I can't criticize them for being proud. They kind of teased me a little bit, but I can't say they're very proud men. But they didn't hear and they weren't glad, you know, and on the coming of Christ, they're not stirred up about it. And I can say I am just because I've been studying that particular subject, so I'm not judging them for that. I'm just saying whatever the subject is, we're not going to be glad about it unless we've heard first, and we're not going to hear unless we're humble and we're crying out. And if we're willing to do that and just tell God in your own words, in your own voice, I need help, I need revelation on this subject, please enlighten me, and then go through those healing scriptures, he will teach you, he will be so faithful to speak to you and to give you his words on it and his view on it. So exciting. And then he says, lift up your voice for understanding. There's something to speaking it out loud, just praying and asking God. And there's something to voice. I know it doesn't totally apply here, but if you see a parallel passage in Proverbs 4, it says, they are life to those who find them. It says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. In Proverbs 4, verse 24, there's something to have your mouth lined up with this pursuit of knowledge, with this pursuit of the knowledge of God. There's something about having your mouth lined up and not saying different than the Word says about you. That's really important in receiving healing. And it says, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. And we shared last week, or last time we shared on this, we talked about that, you know, if silver's not your thing, then it says hidden treasure. What would you do? What are those parables in the New Testament about? You know, a guy had treasure in a field, so he sold everything he had and he bought that field so that he would have that treasure. We go to great lengths to work and to earn and to save and to find treasure. We should go to the same lengths. I'm not saying work an 8-hour prayer shift. You know, I'm not saying that. You don't need to pray 8 hours a day. And I find that when you know how the Bible says you draw near to God and he'll draw near to you? That if you know how we say, we have the expression, you give an inch and he'll take an arm. With God, you give an inch and he gives a foot. With God, you give an inch and he gives you eternity. You start to move towards him a little bit, and he's so moved by our humility and our discernment and our crying out for discernment. He's so moved by our desire to know him better. I know because he's told me so. You know, sometimes I go, Lord, Lord, you know, I'm such a bumpkin. I know so little about you. And he goes, it's so precious to me that you want what I've got. And I, you know, that you want, he's told me that. You say, oh, I don't hear his voice like that. You will. If you pursue him, because it says the hungry will be satisfied. Those who seek after the kingdom, they will be filled. The hungry will be filled. So if you pursue God, and that's your pursuit in life, you will be filled, you will be satisfied. And it's a satisfying satisfaction. It's a, English can't describe the peace that we have in God. English can't, and that's why we've got the gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We can pray in an unknown tongue and have that unction, be able to pray out these things that are deep and eternal. So the Lord gives wisdom, And then let's see what happens if you pursue him with this level of pursuit. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. You will find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He stores it up for us. See, he's just waiting. It's like a basket. It's like ripe fruit on the tree. It's plump and it's ripe and it's good. We used to have these fig trees in Virginia, this one farmer I worked for. He had this fig tree outside, and you had to beat the hornets to those ripe figs because they were just sweet and plump, and they hang down. They just hang down there like a little leather pouch there. They just hang down just ripe and juicy, and you've got to get them before the hornets get them because they can smell them too, or however they sense them. They go and get them, but you've got to get them first. And that's the way God says he stores up wisdom. It's sitting there. It's ripe. It's ready. Remember the scripture in Proverbs that says wisdom cries aloud in the streets? It's free and it's there for the taking. It's free and it's there. It says also that the loose woman, the immoral woman, cries out in the streets too. But she has a different message, and the results of following that voice lead to hell, lead to the pit, they lead to death, that kind of sin, and following after something that's not God's voice. But wisdom is free, and it's never been more free. You can YouTube any subject and hear preaching and teaching on it for hours and hours, any subject now. It's free, so we're at a time now where it's easier than ever to get filled and inundated with the life and the precious Word of God and good teaching on it. But I encourage you to go to the Word for yourself and cry out for yourself and go through these words. Use these books that I've shared about as a springboard and then go through those scriptures yourself. Look at them in the context. See how they might apply to your life, and the Spirit will be there and bring this life and this unction to all those scriptures you've known maybe for years, and bring new life into it. All right. Well, let's look at Proverbs 4. Like I said, that's kind of a parallel passage to this, and go through some points in this. Proverbs 4, verse 20, where we've really gone through this. Pastor Mary's done such a great job of teaching on this over the years, and there's always more to this, and just rich, rich verse. My son, give attention to my words, Proverbs 4, 20. Do not let them depart from your eyes. See, this is a steady thing. You know, you can see why David said, I will praise you in the morning, noon, and night. I'll lift you up. I meditate on your word. What Danielle shared earlier about stirring herself up. If you want to see what David, the attention and level he gave, read Psalm 119. I mean, and there are 100 and how many verses? I don't know. Maybe there are more than 100 verses in that. I haven't counted them recently. 115 or something. 150. Yeah, and if you go through that, you'll see the way David viewed the word, and it'll bless you. And you can speak in the first person along with him and declare those things to God, and it'll just bless you. And you'll go back to the word with this renewed hunger and thirst and absorptive. You know, it's like squeezing out a sponge and getting it ready for the next dose of soaking. And that's what we've got to do sometimes. We've got to wring out the garbage, not empty our minds in some new age sense, but we silence our minds. And we say, I will have knowledge of God. I will be part of a generation that knows God. I will know Him. I will know Him better than my parents. And then I'm going to grow from that. I expect my kids to know God better one day than I know them, if they don't know Him better now. You know, I expect them to know Him better. I expect them to be better parents, not wane and get worse and weaker every generation. It's an exciting thing. They're going to add things and take the parenting we've taught them and spread that to their kids if Christ tarries. And anyway, so he says, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Look at the commitment there. Do not let them depart from your eyes. I mean, we probably ought to have bracelets. And, you know, the Old Testament, they had bracelets they put on their forehead. They had all these special clothes and things they'd wear and trinkets with his scriptures on them. It's not a bad idea. It helps your natural man focus on them. I had a bracelet I tried to write some stuff on, and it all came off. And I've rewritten it like 3 times. And there were certain scriptures I wanted on there. And I brought that. That didn't work very long. And then I found, you know, you just need to, some of these things you want to stir up in your heart. We don't want to be religious about them. But these things help. And they are life to those that find them, health to all their flesh. I just love every, you know, when you get in love with the word, every preposition and every descriptive word means something to you. Health to all. Health to all your flesh. It's so wonderful that God cares about healing every little space and cell in us. When you speak that over yourself, think of what that does to your body. And you just declare with the words God's given you and the power He's given you to declare His words. You speak that over every minutia in your body, every little cell and organ and part. It's just precious. It's just precious. For out of it, and he says, keep them, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in their life to those who find health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Here again is that notion that we've shared in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We want to keep our heart. We don't want thorns to spring up and choke the word. Sometimes we've got a limited space in our soul to comprehend things in this life. In the short span we have on this earth, we have limited capacity in our soul, meaning to absorb. You know what I mean? I mean, we have limited time, I should say. Our soul is virtually limitless. The things we can absorb and memorize, it's virtually eternal. The things that we could continue learning. If you guys have ever seen that movie Groundhog Day, he starts to get real carnal. He keeps reliving the same day. Then he realizes, I can master everything. He teaches himself piano because he relives the same day over and over. He gets to go to all these lessons. He teaches himself piano, French, like 17th century poetry or something. And he goes through all these things after kind of a carnal thing where he thinks he's God because he doesn't die practically. He gets real carnal and fleshly about it. But then he comes back to what's important by the end of the movie, starts learning and treating people well, and he spends all his time trying to develop relationships and help people each time he comes back. But we have limited time. Our soul's unlimited, and we keep it with diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Our words are going to spring out of our heart, and the life of God is going to spring out of us if we're putting it in. And he says, put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Don't wander with your words from the scripture. Try to stay steady there. And let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. I'd like to just use an illustration here that some of you have heard before when we did this. But I was going down this mountain path. My brother and I, we'd hike this mountain. It took an hour and 37 minutes to get to the top. An hour and 37 minutes. We were thirsty when we got to the top. It took about 34 minutes to get to the bottom. And we were racing. We're just urgently getting down there because we hadn't brought enough provisions for ourselves. One of the times it was a hot summer day. We bought a bottle of Gatorade each. So we're running down to the bottom of the mountain and trying to get to the bottom as fast as we could and get that water that we had in our cars. And there's a spring at the bottom of the mountain. So we flew down. But man, when you're going that fast and when it's urgent, you have to look straight ahead. You have to ponder the path of your feet. You have to let all your ways be established. You can't turn to the right or the left, you know, except to avoid that next boulder. It's the path's lined with little granite stones and things like that. And it was dangerous, sir. A few times I twisted my ankle when we'd make that hike, and we did it many times. But it looks straight ahead before you. And in dangerous times, it's more important where you're looking. You know, if you're going 70 miles an hour in a car, it's more important to pay attention than if you're going 5 miles an hour, isn't it? Everything's coming up on you quicker and faster. And I believe in the times we're living in, things are more dangerous. Christians are more easily sidetracked from their purpose. And so this is a time for us to press in. There's a calling for us to press in and to know Him better. There's just a calling on these times. There always has been. And I realize that factually and historically that's true. There's always been a call to know God. But more than ever, we're called to pursue His Word and His truth for ourselves and know it. It was such an amazing thing when this Bible was printed for the first time and the printing press was invented. And soon after, the Word of God was printed on that and made available to every man, not just to priests that spoke Latin or priests that wanted to study it in Greek or educated people, but people could see it in their own language and it got out in the English language of its day. That was such a big step. And that brought us out of the Dark Ages. Those were ugly times. People hid in their homes for fear of dark monsters in the woods, and there were strange superstitions and practices then. It was a dark, ugly time for humanity, and the Word of God being available to every man brought us out of that. And once again, you know, it's just a steady thing in the earth. If we want to bring our lives out of darkness and live the freedom that Christ promised in Ephesians, that we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, if we want to live like that and experience all the blessing with that, we have to know what belongs to us, and that's where we find out in the Scripture. So I hope that's stirred you up some here. I'd like to write down a few notes maybe change gears a little bit. You know, back in Proverbs 1, when it says despise something, I just want to talk about that a little bit. Fools despise wisdom and instruction, it says in Proverbs 1 verse 7. Right? Yeah, fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's looking down at something, looking at it with contempt. It's not valuing it. I see this word, I'll paraphrase this, but I'll see this word as the opposite of honor, as the opposite of respect. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, if the Word of God has some level of contempt in your heart or something you hear and you deride it, you look at it with derision or you scoff it or you joke, be careful about doing that. You know, you might hear a preacher or you might hear some of the things I've said and say, you know, that's that works for him or whatever. That works for his family because he's kind of freaky and real into this. You know, and I'm not just speaking to you guys here, anyone listening online. They may have different views and we all do, but it's a... There's a fear and respect and awe we're to have for the things of God, and we won't see the things that we desire to see unless we have this level of honor, unless we share this level of honor for God's word, unless we have this level of respect. It's just an important step into knowing God. And then his voice, his rhema word, will be very clear to you. The devil won't be able to sidetrack you with false doctrines. You'll be grounded. And he won't be able to sidetrack you with thoughts of circumstances. You know, I used to hear when I got in the Word of Faith Message, I was 16, and my sister was into it. The teaching on God being good. And I tease with my wife and I joke with people that, you know, we kind of make fun of Baptists. That's what I can't say I was raised Baptist, but the church we attended as a kid, because my dad was a minister in another denomination that's very rare, and it's over in like the Ohio Valley and stuff. But he was, I went to church at a Baptist church, and I tell people, I served God before I knew he was good, you know? And it's kind of a proud statement. I'm boasting about Baptists a little bit, in their defense a little bit. I know that it's a cultural thing. You know, I'm joking a little bit. I don't literally mean that, but I'm not trying to praise myself in a way. But I'm saying we believed in a God before we knew he was good. When I got over into Word of Faith teaching and found out God was good, man, I floored it into the Word. I hit the accelerator into the Word of God, and it's changed my life. He told me, well, for the sake of the recording, I guess we're done, and we thank the Lord for his word. Thank you, Father, and